Mate, what do I need to win?
2 triple 20s and a bullseye.
Good luck. You know, Rupert, guys have underestimated me my entire life. And for years, I never understood why. It used to really bother me. But then one day, I was driving my little boy to school, and I saw this quote by Walt Whitman. It was painted on the wall there. It said, "Be curious, not judgmental." And I like that. So I get back in my car, and I'm driving to work. And all of a sudden, it hits me. All them fellas that used to belittle me, not a single one of them were curious. You know, they thought they had everything all figured out, and so they judged everything, and they judged everyone. And I realized that they're underestimating me. Who I was had nothing to do with it. Because if they were curious, they would ask questions. You know? Questions like, "Have you played a lot of darts, Ted?" Which I would have answered, "Yes, sir." Every Sunday afternoon at a sports bar with my father from age 10 until I was 16 when he passed away. Barbecue sauce.
This podcast is scheduled for one fall.
With a 60-minute time limit coming out of the Black Corner to combine with 666 pounds, recording to you from Black Falls Community. I'm your boy, Xander Hobbs. This is...
Bobby.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
B.
And once again, we're bringing you another edition of the...
WrestleOcalypse.
It is upon us.
All right. We're going to dub this episode Take Two. Me and Bobby know what that's all about. Maybe we'll tell you, maybe we won't. But anyways, WWE is firing on all cylinders right now. Lots of things happening on the road to WrestleMania. So this is going to be a pretty WWE heavy segment. So let's just hop right into it.
Yeah, it's crazy. They seem to have pushed all the right buttons, including pulling the lever on The Rock, which we talked about last week. But I think this week, one of my favorite parts about it, and we will talk about the Bloodline storyline, obviously, but they did a lot of work down the card to really start setting feuds, elevating feuds, and making people care about the two nights of wrestling that they're going to have on this pretty crazy weekend for TKO, because they're going to follow WrestleMania up with UFC 300.
That's going to be huge.
It's just, it's crazy when you look at the totality of what's going on. But
just look at it. It's WrestleMania 40, which is big, and then UFC 300, which is also, I'm sure, Dana White's going to pull out all the stops to make it, you know, pretty monumental. So I'm just, as a viewer of this content, I'm just excited about everything that's happening.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, so Triple H, his writers, they got together and they did a lot of good things. One of the things that I'm excited about is the ongoing feud between Imperium and New Day. Even it included this week the addition of one Uso, which I never thought would have happened with all the battles that New Day and the Usos have had together down from day one-ish.
Also too, though, but it does, even though we didn't think it was going to happen, it also does make sense that it's going to happen, because we, as we know, after they had those awesome matches that we saw, they did shake hands and show a sign of respect for one another. So now that Jay's out of the Bloodline, he's got like, you know, different partners in the New Day. And then this also is too good for like the guys in Imperium to get more showing on the screen. And then possibly what you put here was Jey Uso versus Gunther. That's actually going to be tonight as we're recording this.
So obviously lots of moving parts, but you know, just because they have a match today doesn't mean they won't have one in April. So just a really, really good way. Great match. It's, you know, the New Day, Kofi Kingston, crowd favorite. Everyone loves him. So I really like that. And then really the work that Rollins did. I know this is part of the Bloodline story, but this was kind of him kind of reestablishing himself after the Thursday press conference. And I thought it was phenomenal.
Yeah. Rollins is coming out, you know, he kind of was kind of like a side guy during the press conference, but he's stepping more into his role in this Bloodline storyline. He's the new moving piece into this puzzle. And I thought the promo was good too. Like Seth Rollins has been knocking it out of the park. We've sang his praises all last year, you know, more including this year. So we just hope that he heals up and becomes a healthy go when it's time for WrestleMania.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Part of the ongoing thing they've done is they are setting up the Elimination Chamber match, which has multiple wrestlers. And to get into the Elimination Chamber, you go through an elimination tournament. We love tournaments, obviously. So they've been having a lot of those matches. They've been generally really good. Some of the booking has I've been head scratchers for me. I call out the Liv Morgan, Zoe Stark match. It seems like both of those wrestlers are in need of wins right now to gain momentum, and putting them against each other guarantees you're going to cool one of them off.
Right.
And I don't, you know, I get it. Liv Morgan's a crowd favorite. We were a big fan. The work she did with Nikki Cross years ago, phenomenal. But she just came back, and should she really be beating Zoe Stark? You know, I don't know. Some of that stuff, you know, always, you're never going to be 100% perfect, right?
No. And same thing with like the, on the men's side. We had Orton going up against Styles, and then we had just Nakamura against Sami Zayn. And then McIntyre faced, I forget who McIntyre faced, but pretty much all those guys I mentioned could have been in the chamber, but one of them's got to get left out. The men's chamber is pretty stacked at this point, so I'm not too upset about it.
Yeah, it looks like, didn't Logan Paul advance too?
Logan Paul beat Miz. Bobby Lashley's in it, I believe.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Obviously, Rhea Ripley is obviously being part of Judgment Day. She will be featured heavily. This is in her hometown of Perth, Australia.
Yeah, she's going to be she's going up against Nia Jax, I should say.
What's her new, doesn't she have a new nickname or something?
The Nia Jax?
Yeah.
I don't know. I try not to pay too much attention to her. I'm only doing it because she's going up against Ripley.
Yeah. And it's, and then we've got the tag team championship is going to also be on the line. Finn Balor and Damian Priest versus Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate.
That should be a good match.
Yeah, that should be a good match too. But they've, you know, all of this has done a good job of, again, like, just keeping the machine going, good matches, building rivalries. You know, they're going to be doing some things with the Elimination Chamber match itself. I really liked the Zayn and Nakamura main event. We're going to talk about another time they got in the squared circle together during Cool Shit. But I thought it was a really good main event, a good way to, end the show, and just a good sign that with all the turmoil they've had. And it was interesting. I was listening to a Bill Simmons podcast with Ariel Helwani, and they were talking about, like, it's easy to be short-sighted and we think about, like, what happened since they interjected The Rock into it. But you have to really look back. It's like CM Punk getting hurt really threw a huge monkey wrench in the system. Like, you know, that was part of the plan.
No, it wasn't, because they were going to have him... From what I read, they were going to have him win the Royal Rumble, and he was going to go up against Seth Rollins, and then they're going to have Cody in the Elimination Chamber, and that was how they... Well, they weren't even going to have Cody in the Elimination Chamber because they were going to do Rock versus Reigns. So, everything's changed, and I think for the better. I mean, I would have liked to have seen that CM Punk Seth Rollins match, but it's not going to happen, so I'm not too upset about it. And we're still waiting on to see if Rollins is cleared for WrestleMania even, because he's still a question mark.
Yeah, definitely. But with all of the turmoil and obviously the Vince stuff too, right? Like that hangs heavy over them. Triple H is leaning on the guys he knows can do get it done. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Drew McIntyre, Shinsuke Nakamura. These are guys who built the Black and Gold brand to, you know, I think my probably favorite iteration of NXT, for sure. So, you know, really enjoying seeing these guys getting some good spotlight shone on them, main eventing and helping really continue to build the undercards. I liked the development of the Bayley and Dakota Kai uneasy alliance. I think that was great. Really like seeing Tiff Stratton continuing to get a push. She qualified for the EC.
I'm just saying I'm really excited for her to be in the Elimination Chamber just because off the heels of that match, the no holds barred match she had with Becky Lynch a couple months ago, that was amazing. That was like her coming out party. So I'm just excited to see what they're going to have her do in the chamber. I've been a big fan of her since the beginning, and I'm just glad to see her get this push.
Yeah, that's a great point bringing up the calling back to that match. That was a great match with Becky Lynch. Obviously, Becky Lynch giving her the nod, the rub, by doing that, even just going to NXT and doing that match, right?
Right.
And then lastly, I hope this doesn't break up the greatest tag team in the history of the planet, but looks like Bron Breakker has inked his name to be full-time on SmackDown.
Yeah, man. Like, so what were they called? The War Dogs?
Wolf Dogs.
The Wolf Dogs. Newly minted tag team NXT tag team champions. The tag team we didn't think we needed, but is amazing. And yes, Bron Breakker is on SmackDown. And who else is the champion of SmackDown? That's Roman Reigns. So we're getting a little bit closer to what our mailbagger predicted months and months ago about Bron Breakker possibly dethroning Roman Reigns. So if Cody does not work out, which we'll get into more, we might have Bron Breakker coming through. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
I could really see, right? Because the nice thing is Bron Breakker, Cody Rhodes, the Bloodline, Triple H, they're all legacy wrestlers, right?
Yeah.
Baby Steiner, as we like to call him. Maybe like Cody Rhodes becomes like the Apollo Creed character and coaches Bron Breakker like he's Rocky to defeat, in this case, I think it would be Clubber Lang, right? Is what it is.
Exactly.
And I just think that'd be awesome. I think it'd be great. And then the prophecy is fulfilled. And I would, you know, I just wonder what sports almanac that mailbag submitter has in his pocket, like a Biff.
For real.
But as great as everything else was, it's really all about the Bloodline. I'm going to turn it over to you. Break it down. It was pretty fantastical, phenomenal. The in-ring gear, I mean, everything.
Just like the gear that this shifted into. Like, this went into, like, third gear. And because we're thinking we're going to get The Rock, and then we had the press conference, and now we're introduced to The Rock. Like not so newly minted heel Rock. This guy said went on record saying he was going to embrace this heel work and the booze that he's getting, and he sure as hell did. I mean, he coming out with the shirt or the cutoff shirt, you know, opening up with the crowd, calling them trailer park trash, calling them, you know, just classic Rock moments. And it's so crazy because the internet just exploded. And there are these little things that Rock did that like made them think that he's a double agent, that he's not fully with the Bloodline. I'm just right now, instead of like thinking about all these conspiracy theories and everything, I'm enjoying it just for the ride that it is. I mean, it's as much as I've said my piece on The Rock and I still maintain some of those opinions, he's not stupid on like what people's reaction is. Remember Triple H, The Rock, these guys aren't Vince. They don't get off on like shitting on the crowd. So, like he said, they're going to boo. He's going to give them something to boo. And I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was a great promo. I mean, you can find it on YouTube right now. Like, it's pretty awesome. Like, 100 props to all them.
Yeah, I just a great pivot. Probably seems like, you know, obviously the IWC is undefeated in conspiracy shenanigans.
Right.
But, you know, it's like, this has a lot of legs. This has something that can go beyond WrestleMania to SummerSlam. You know?
Oh, it just gave the Rock, not only the Rock coming into this feud, but like being a part of the bloodline and like becoming the heel Rock. This gave it like a good like 3 or 4 months possibly after WrestleMania, to be honest with you. So
yeah, really well done. You know, and it's going to be interesting to see, one, if Cody Rhodes, we believe in Cody Rhodes, but if the knee, if you know, he's not as young as he used to be. Sometimes injuries don't heal as fast as you think they do. Sometimes you think they're healing and you maybe push it too hard and you aggravate it. So we don't really know. Still, there's still a lot of uncertainty about WrestleMania. I think the assumption is he's fucking Seth freaking Rollins and he's going to find a way to do something, right? But I mean, don't necessarily know.
Yeah, I'm not going to say whether it's here nor there. Like, I'm not in his body and stuff like that. But it's, I mean, these injuries have been happening to him, you know, throughout his career. So, you know, like you said, as you get older, you don't heal as quick. But, you know, we're hoping that he can get the green light and, you know, grace us with his presence at WrestleMania, because if not, he's going to be missed.
As of right now, it does not look like we will have a women's main event on either night. If no. Seth Rollins can't go, is there a women's match you think could be the main event on night one?
I mean, just because I know they like to do women's main events and stuff like that, but like if they want to make this title that Seth Rollins seem relevant, I feel like it has to main event. And I'd see him like, I mean, I wouldn't be mad at if they had Gunther going through there, or maybe even Drew McIntyre. Those two guys still have nothing to do for WrestleMania unless they have Gunther defend the Intercontinental title, which I feel should be defended at WrestleMania. But like Drew McIntyre is sitting right there, and I feel like he's been doing like some of his best work right now. Like, I love this new heel character. It's great. And I think that he's that type of heel that would take advantage of Seth's injuries in the match, you know, and then, you know, see what happens from there.
Yeah. Have you caught any of McIntyre's social media stuff he's doing?
No, I haven't.
He did one where he's like, he's drinking an energy drink. He's like, never miss arm day. And he goes to the thing and he just starts doing tricep pull downs. And like, cause you know, he's like really embracing this thing that he injured Punk.
Yes, exactly.
And so I like that. Then that's one thing, going back to what we said about like Triple H kind of leaning on these guys. But we are going to be on the case, on the hunt up until WrestleMania. Check it in with us every week. We'll continue to break it down. Real quick, before we move on to cool shit, I don't think AEW was bad last week. I thought it was pretty good. I think they've got some things figured out and are moving in the right direction. Interesting. I read like an article basically just pointing out how AEW has all of this talent who just disappears off TV.
Yeah.
They're not injured. They're just not being used. And it's like, you know, the blessing of a full cupboard, I guess. But do we really need to be seeing so much of some of these older guys? Like, do we need so much Jeff Jarrett?
It's like, do we need so much Jeff Jarrett? Do we need so much Chris Jericho? Like, they have so many people, and you know, you don't see them. I feel like he goes and gets these guys, gets the pop, and then, you know, it's that there's nothing. Like, Edge is a mid-card guy, or Adam Copeland's a mid-card guy now, but from what I've read, this is what he's been wanting to do. So he wants to like work with the younger guys. So I can't get too upset with that. That's on him. But like, as far as all these guys, how many people have we seen come through that curtain and then you never hear about them again?
Yeah. Like, when was the last time we saw Miro? He was in that like weird, when his wife was like the manager.
Exactly.
Like that was the last pay-per-view.
Yeah. It was a nonsensical angle. And then, you know, he's not building up any momentum. Like, I mean, Saraya, she just won the women's title like a few months ago. It's nowhere to be seen. I guess she's been on Rampage because they've been doing that Rampage thing.
Yeah, but she's like part of this overarching story with Ruby Soho.
Right.
Which I don't mind, right? Like, because I think, you know, I think they got a good thing going with Toni Storm and Diana Perazzo.
Right. That's good.
So that's like, okay, that's the title that should be held in the highest esteem for the women's. I think that what they've got going with Samoa and Joe, though I think it's lazy having this three or triple threat or three-way, they're all good in the ring together. It's good television. It's going to be a good match. It's a good way that they can have an exciting match and protect Samoa Joe a little bit.
Yeah. And I know the three-way is a lazy way of booking, but like we said in past episodes, that it's Hangman and Swerve going for the title. So, you know, it kind of makes sense why it would be in a triple threat. Those two know each other really well, so it goes to a draw. Like, I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt. But like I said, this whole thing's not gonna be successful unless it's a vehicle for Swerve to eventually take the title at Revolution. I feel like that needs to happen. Otherwise, like, he's just back to square one.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, and there's a lot of different ways you can continue to go with it. If they don't pin Samoa Joe, if he pins Hangman Page, then now we have Swerve versus Samoa Joe, right?
Right.
Samoa Joe should have a rightful claim to challenge on in a one, you know, there's a lot of ways they could go with it. So I agree with you. I mean, we have featured Swerve from previous promotions, both when he was
Killshot
NXT and then also with
Lucha Underground.
Yeah, Lucha Underground. I was like, I knew it wasn't AAA, but so yeah, really good stuff going there. And then I think I'm all about the EVPs.
Yeah, that's been a really good nice little turn, how they just become like even more condescending and then really brutal with their beatdown, still wearing the white suits. And like, so this is going to be Sting's last match, right? At Revolution
for the tag. So that's my understanding, right?
Yeah, that's what it said on there. So I like this character of the Young Bucks because, like I said before, that just seemed, when I heard they were turning heel, I just thought we were going to get a rinse and repeat of like what they usually do when they're heels, but this is way different. And then they're listening. It sounds like they're listening to the groundswell about what people are saying about them, you know, on the internet and stuff like that. So they're doubling down on screen, which makes it good because, you know, now we're blurring that line of what's real and what's not. And I think it's a pretty cool direction that they're going with.
Yeah, I think that's nicely said. Lastly, AEW, I think this was a really good move. The more I've thought about it, is getting Claudio and Moxley in a tag team program with FTR. I went back and I watched the Moxley promo. I really enjoyed it. I mean, he's kind of a one-trick pony with promos, which is fine. At least what he does pretty well. But I did like how he basically was like, oh, you don't think we don't know about tag team wrestling? And I like that because I think, you know, I think they're going to make a point of doing a lot of, you know, actual tag team wrestling with tag dynamics, strategies, cutting off the ring, all those things, classic things, because they're all technicians at this. Like Claudio and back when he was Cesaro and Sheamus, they were great together.
Claudio and Sheamus were great. Claudio and Tyson Kidd were great. Like that one was really awesome. So, I mean, Claudio, he's a good, I hate to use this, but it's for lack of a better term, a good utility piece. You can pretty much plug him in, you know, any like situation and he can like succeed in that. So this is good. It gets something off Mox that we don't have to see him in singles matches where he's bleeding constantly all the time and not selling. And FTR is FTR. So all four of those guys have good chemistry, I think. So I don't see anything wrong with it. I like it.
No, I do too. And it's not, no one's got the titles, right?
It's not. No, it's just titles. A straight, they don't like each other.
And yeah, it's, which is, we need more of that.
Yes, exactly. So good step forward for AEW this Wednesday. I hope they can continue it as we're getting ready for Revolution, because Revolution looks like a good card so far. It doesn't have a lot of matches. I hope they don't try to put in like five matches before, like 2 weeks before, like, because it's in 3 weeks. So the card looks pretty done to me. I hope they don't add any more to it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's always the problem, right? It's like going to Korean barbecue when you watch an AEW pay-per-view. You're like, well, I'm going to probably have the meat sweats when I leave here, but, you know, you're in for it, what you're in for.
Right.
But I ain't got anything more to talk about as far as the pro wrestling scene this week. Oh, one thing I did see, excited, TKO signed a 5-year deal with the Honda Center in Anaheim. They're going to have pay-per-views and, you know, non-pay-per-view shows. So we're going to see some SmackDown, some Raws, you know, hopefully we can get like, I don't know, Royal Rumble or something. Anaheim is not that far away from us. And so I like that. And then I saw that apparently Nick Nemeth is going to be participating in GCW thing going on.
Which, yeah.
Surprise. He doesn't have to.
Yeah. I mean, he's just getting out there. I think what's happening is people are seeing the success that Matt Cardona had when he went the indie route, and then he's in GCW. Like, I'm not the biggest Matt Cardona guy, but like, I have to give him props for being so successful post WWE. Like, once this is over for him, he's going to be more known as Matt Cardona than Zack Ryder. And I think that's where people are getting, lots of other wrestlers are kind of like hopping on these coattails, because you can succeed, you know, outside the two big companies or even TNA. And now with TNA having working relationships with GCW and everything like that. So there is success for it. So, like, you know, I'm surprised, but I'm not. So.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, brother. Let's take a quick powder and then we'll get on with the cool shit.
Right on.
Yeah. 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 Look out the window, golly, the sky is electric blue. Mama Earth is dying and crying because of you. Raining cats and jackals, our shackles disintegrate. The residue, silly mortals having a clue as to what the fuck is going on. The telephone dial in the dozen.
Hello?
This train, bring the MP and the ST. Meet me at the center of the earth and travel carefully. Baby, grab the baby, cause baby, it ain't much time. Mama Earth is tossing and turning, and that's a sign. Omega, nigga, I oppose a landed indicator. Hope I'm not over your head, but if so, you will catch on later. Play the track. From niggas constantly fucking, I never loving, I never showing appreciation, busting us in the face when they die. The sky is falling, nobody balling, they done gave back their guns. For some tickets to the playoffs, but the horn is day one. Nigga, we slum, kept all the guns. I gotta
protect. Once again, we're back with your favorite segment, my favorite segment, Bobby's favorite segment, and the Dark Lord's favorite segment. What do you like to call it?
Cool shit.
And what does cool shit always start off with?
Motherfucking mailbag.
Hit it.
All right. First questions from last of the TNA front line. I know Xander has hinted that the NFL is a work. I've been doing some digging online, and the more I find, the more I'm leaning towards agreeing with his theories. I just want to know what you guys thought of the Super Bowl going into overtime and SF not deferring. Do you guys think it was an honest mistake, or is there more to it underneath?
Honestly, I know I've said some things about like the officiating and everything like that, but with the Super Bowl going into overtime, the guys on San Francisco claim to not have known the rules, because I guess the Super Bowl overtime is different than the playoff one. You know, it's the Super Bowl, no matter what, if it's a field goal or a touchdown, the other team still gets a chance. Whereas in the playoffs and in the regular season, it's a touchdown that ends the game if you're the first person to get it. So to me, that just seems like a coaching error, that if they didn't know what was going on, I don't think they threw the game or whatever. I think they just made a mistake, but like they ended up kicking a field goal anyway. So it didn't even matter at that point, because KC was going to get the ball and Patrick Mahomes was going to do Patrick Mahomes things.
Right. I think there has been some damning evidence come out that shows that it was ignorance. They tried to, Shannon came out a couple days later, was like, no, we wanted one because we wanted to go third, but then it shows like they really didn't understand the whole point. And Kansas City did. It's on their sideline. Yeah. Andy Reid, they told Mahomes, like, we want to kick off. We want the ball second.
Exactly.
You know, and like, so, like, you got to know the, like, I don't know the rules because I am a fan.
Right.
Like, and another thing I heard, which shows that obviously somebody was thinking a little bit more deeply about it, I heard the Chiefs were practicing a ton of 2-point conversion plays, because if San Francisco scored, like they wanted to be able to win the game.
Yeah.
They didn't want to just score a touchdown and then give it back and then lose on a field goal. You know, they felt that if they get the opportunity with Patrick Mahomes and their staff, they could do that 2-point conversion, which shows they obviously were thinking about it. Right.
I mean, they were covering all aspects of the game. Like, I think this is the first time I've ever seen an NFL Super Bowl go into an overtime. But you have to be prepared for every aspect of the game because it can happen, especially with how good these two teams were. Like, San Francisco was obviously the better team all year. Kansas City had some hiccups, but they know how to win. They have a winning culture there. So not surprising that they got to the point where they were at. But you have to just be prepared for everything. And you can't, like, we've talked about excuses in the past. You know, everyone's got one and they're not valid. So you can't say you didn't know the rules. They told you the rules right there. Right.
Yeah. So I don't think it's a work. I think there are probably things that get done for reasons that can benefit teams more than others. Just schedule, like when you think about how schedules are chosen and things like that, and all those, like, you know, when you've got 5 road games in a row for some teams and stuff like that, or you know, or like the Cowboys, they always have to play on Thanksgiving,
right?
Which, you know, is just sometimes, or the ones when they have to go play in England. I mean, how many wins does that cost Jacksonville?
Yeah, I mean, and they're doing more of that. Speaking of which, they're going to be going to like South America, I hear, like
Mexico City, right?
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of a hard travel day, like going across, like, not just other time zones, but in different countries. That's, you can't like turn over that quick. It's hard to travel within the United States, let alone across the globe almost. So
yeah, no, I agree, but. You know, money is out there to be had, and the NFL is going to go get it. So,
right.
All right. Next question. Last line, lady. I know you guys have been wrestling fans for quite some time. Everyone looks fondly over the Attitude and Ruthless Aggression eras, and rightfully so. My question for you guys is, what era were you the least fond of?
That's a tough one because there's pockets of bad stuff in every era. So we got to look for the one, or we got to go to the one that has more bad stuff than it has good stuff. So I mean, the Cena era, if like anything, would we agree that the Cena era is bad? But we did get a lot of CM Punk and Daniel Bryan during that. So,
yeah, but I think like I could, so I guess I would reason it that I would agree with that because like, and we're bordering on this now with Reigns. We're probably already past it. Is like the inevitability works against wrestling after some point. Like an inevitability of Cena was never going to lose.
Right.
And he was never going to turn heel. So then he becomes a one-trick pony, and then it's boring, and then you resent it, right? Because the work it takes for all these other guys to get to match with Cena makes you want to root for them. And then Cena, you know, never put anybody over, really.
Yeah.
Until later, I guess.
Later. But, because there were some pockets, so I won't give the whole Cena era, like, I won't shit on the whole Cena era, because, like, through that, we got Edge to become a main eventer. I mean, if I had to put my number or my finger on a year, I think I'd have to go, like, 2010. Because just real quick, like HBK retired, Batista quit with this awesome heel run. It was the last year of Triple H, Taker, and Edge being full-time. Jericho left. Swagger was the world champion. Jack Swagger, now Jake Hager. That was at least Ezekiel Jackson, last ECW champion. That's probably those look all bad to me. So I'm gonna keep it on there.
No, I think that's a good point. And I think if I personally like the Ruthless Aggression era better than the Attitude era.
The wrestling was better. Yeah. Like the matches were better because like SmackDown, you had Undertaker, Batista, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, Edge, Rey Mysterio, Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar. And you just keep all those guys and all those guys in their prime. So I mean, I agree with you on that aspect.
All right. Thanks for the question, Last Line Lady. And moving on to Bully Ray Cyrus asks, what's up, guys? I'm a metalhead, but I'm on the younger side and I haven't been to a concert yet. I like 80s thrash metal scene along with As They Lay Dying, Killswitch Engage, Hell Ripper, etc. I was just wondering if there are any shows you guys could recommend that are coming up. Thanks for taking my question.
There's quite a few coming up. I mean, if you like Cattle Decapitation and Carnifex, they're on tour in the United States, if that's where you're from. I'm assuming so, hopefully. Slaughter to Prevail, they've only got 3 dates in the US. It's in California, New York, and I think Texas. And then this one is the one that we're looking forward to, and that's going to be Lamb of God and Mastodon. They're doing the 20th anniversaries of Ashes of the Wake and Leviathan, respectively. So they'll be playing both of those albums front to back. So that's going to be amazing because those are both awesome albums. I've seen Lamb of God a few times. I've seen Mastodon once. They were really cool. So those are the ones I can figure out off the top of my head for just metal shows. So if you're in the area, go look those up on their Instagrams or online. And if you're in there, they're in your area, I would highly suggest you go see those.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, take a chance on a band you may not know about. You know, like, it seems like there's quite a bit of metal coming through. Not a lot of what you called out, but, I mean, everywhere from like playing smaller venues like the Whiskey, the Palladium, to, you know, a skate park. There's a bunch of stuff. But I would say, good luck. It's a cool experience to go to your first concert.
Yeah. My first concert was Pantera and White Zombie. And that was during Astro Creep 2000 and the Great Southern Trendkill. I believe I was a sophomore in high school. I thought that was really awesome. That was just opened up the floodgates for me. So one of my favorite things to do when I'm not working or not hanging out is going to concerts and seeing cool shows. So I highly suggest you hop on one of those, or if you find something that interests you, hop on that as well.
Yeah, my first show that I like really consider not like going to the Cobalt Cafe or like seeing like, you know, your buddy's high school band was Warped Tour. And I guess that's what I would recommend too. If you're tight on money, tight on time, you can see a lot of different bands at a festival. As I got older and like going to shows more, I don't like festivals as much. You don't get, you know, you just get like a taste of it. It's like a buffet.
Yeah.
I'd prefer like to go. I want to go get the full meal sometimes. So
right, it's like a band fight.
Yeah, but like you haven't been to a concert. There's a lot of bands you want to see, and then you see who you like, and then you look to see them when they come back through on their own tour. So just a recommendation. All right, onward and upward. The last question of this particular bag, WWE Universe member 2739 asks. I just want to start by saying that I'm one of the growing group of people that was excited for Rock Reigns. A dream's dream match and probably the biggest money match of all time. I just want to know why you guys and the rest of the Cody crybabies pushed back so much on a match that had the potential to be the biggest match in WrestleMania history.
All right. Well, stealing the Rock's line already. Just make sure you zip them up when you're done. Here's the problem. It's not so much a problem. Here's the thing why we did push back. And I'm not going to consider myself a Cody crybaby. I just want to watch things that make sense. Cody Rhodes was in the Royal Rumble and he won. According to WWE rules, the winner of the Royal Rumble is the main event at WrestleMania. So there's that. He won. He's the main event. The fact that he came out and just handed The Rock his spot. Like, you have to put yourself in wrestling lore for a minute. You want to have the biggest match that you can have on WrestleMania if you win the Royal Rumble. So him just handing over his spot to The Rock, even when he said he wants to take everything away from him, didn't make any sense. If you want, like, we're not against The Rock versus Roman Reigns, but the problem is it didn't make sense to just put him in there. If he would have went into the Royal Rumble, won the Royal Rumble, even though I don't really want to see that, like, that would have made more sense. Are you following all this? I hope so.
Yes. So
that's the reason for the pushback.
Yes. And they, whether this was the plan all along or they heard that pushback, that match is still there. And like, you know, The Rock is a part of WWE again.
Right.
So there's a lot of potential for where this goes. I think part of the problem with this, people who like, it was a reactionary move, and the match is going to be better if there's more long-term storytelling and thought put into it.
Right.
Rather than just The Rock wants to come back because, well, I haven't been around, but except when I beat up Jinder Mahal that one time, but I've decided I'm tired of Roman Reigns after all of this. Now this was the last straw. I'm going to cut. Like, we need to have some drama, some story. There's an arc involved. There's Paul Heyman needs to get involved in this.
Yeah.
There's the family dynamic that continues to evolve, right? So, like, it would be a disservice to The Rock versus Reigns to have it at WrestleMania.
I think so, because, like you said, there's no build to it. And for the people that are out there that said that this has been built since Reigns had the title because of them being family, no, not really. The Rock said one thing. He said, should he sit at the head of the table? And that's kind of like the fire started. And the thing is, this title doesn't have to be for, or this match doesn't have to be for the title. And what I think you, WWE Universe member, and a lot of other people that wanted to see Rock and Reigns, you like the concept of a match between The Rock and Roman Reigns. Let's remember, this isn't The Rock from 2000. Like, The Rock hasn't wrestled a match in 13 years. And when he last wrestled a match, he not only got injured, it wasn't good. And so, like, I don't think you guys know what you're going to be getting into when you see The Rock and Roman Reigns are just one-on-one. Reigns is very limited. He's limited in the ring because he wrestles a certain style. That's how he wrestles. That's what works for him. The Rock is super limited. So I don't see that just being a good match. And for WrestleMania and for to be the main event, I want a good match. Sorry. Like, that's just how it goes for me.
Yeah. So if you want to send softball questions for us to launch over the fence, like WWE Universe member 2739, where can they get at you, Xander, my man?
You can get at me on Instagram, Xander Hobbs, XANDER_HOBBES. Same thing on the Threads machine. Bobby, where can they find you?
WrestleOcalypse on the IG, the Threads, spelled like it sounds. Also, you can also send email to WrestleOcalypse@gmail.com if that's easier for you. But yeah, we love to hear the feedback. We love to take your questions. We appreciate everyone who's engaging with us. But we're moving on to match of the week. I picked this one out this time, so I hope it does not disappoint. But it is in a reference to the main event from Raw. We have the first time on WWE, Sami Zayn and Shinsuke Nakamura, the King of Strong Style, locked horns. And that was at the NXT TakeOver Dallas 2016. This was Nakamura's debut in America. Longtime star in New Japan Pro Wrestling. I loved it. The crowd knew who he was. Later on, NXT crowds kind of get snarky a little bit, and you know, but they definitely gave a lot of love for Nakamura during his intro, and Sami Zayn was already a crowd favorite. So I thought it was a great match.
Yeah, I did too. I like I said, I was very excited for very excited for Nakamura to come through on this, because I had just watched his matches with AJ Styles. I came into Nakamura late, you know, because I found out, you know, when I just got into New Japan, when all the Bullet Club started, stuff was happening. So seeing him from there wrestle matches against Devitt, and then obviously his match with Styles, I was impressed, because I haven't really seen too much wrestling like that, where it's like, he's actually like almost a MMA style. But him and Sami Zayn had really good chemistry. For two people not meeting ever and having the match that they did is pretty incredible. And it's a testament to both wrestlers, because this match, and we'll be talking about it, you know, somewhere down the line again, is fantastic. And there was no belts involved. There was no storyline involved. It was a straight up wrestling match.
Yeah, it was really good. It's on Peacock. They do have, I don't know if it's the whole match, but there's some clips of it on the YouTube. But it's really good, and it was a really a pleasure. I'm glad that I was able to feature it today. But we don't just watch wrestling. We watch other stuff too sometimes. And so this week I've been watching some old favorites with some new one. There is the show that Betty Rebel found called School Spirit. It's about this high school student who gets murdered, but she's a ghost and she can see all the other ghost kids of the high school. And she's trying to figure out who killed her and what happened, because she doesn't remember how she died. That one's been entertaining. Finished the first season of Ted Lasso. Loving that show. And then new to, they used to be on Showtime, but now they're on Meadowlark, which is the Dan Le Batard and John Skinner media company. We've got All the Smoke, which features Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. And they do a really good job of interviewing, of telling stories. They get really good guests. So I really enjoy that. So I've been checking out them. They've been doing some different stuff. New interviews and kind of getting set in their move from Showtime. So I've been watching that. Is there anything good you've been watching?
Well, let me try to remember. We just watched this documentary called American Nightmare, and it's about this girl and her boyfriend. Walk me through this so I don't get it right. She gets kidnapped and taken, and gets violated, taken to a place and everything like that. She goes to the authorities and they don't believe her. And the story gets spun by the media that it was a hoax. Meanwhile,
it's like the movie Gone Girl.
Yeah, they're tying that into the movie Gone Girl a lot. And what was happening though is like the guy that did this was not an isolated incident. He was doing this to other people as well. There was someone else that was supposed to be part of it. And it was just this big mess with the police department.
The cops didn't believe them and did nothing.
Yeah, the cops A, didn't believe them, or B, didn't want to do anything about it. They're too lazy, like, you know, cops kind of are. And you know, this girl's life was pretty much ruined because she was looked down upon. She was like a pariah. So it was just interesting how like the stories like matched right away, and that this one cop from a different district or something, she started putting the pieces together and kind of like had them reopen the case. And so we got to the bottom of it. It was an interesting watch. I was like in and out of it, but like it was really good. I highly recommend it. It's only a three-parter, and it's on Netflix. So I highly suggest you watch that if you're into the true crime stuff and seeing the outcome of it, and like how the police are not really up to par sometimes when it comes to doing their job.
Yeah, Betty Rebel told me about that. She watched that because it was happened in Vallejo where right, I used
where
to live
from.
And,
yeah, you were. Yeah,
we were visiting me there.
Yeah,
and then just the whole story and like, yeah, Vallejo cops had to pay up big on that one. Yeah,
they sure did.
They basically defamed the.
Yeah, they were in a defamation lawsuit because I don't know that this poor girl got violated and kidnapped and nobody believed them. How, dude? And then people that like say this stuff, and because there's people online that do this stuff a lot now too. What I've noticed is this like these Andrew Tate incels that like are coming up, and I know sometimes that happens where like the woman will exaggerate and stuff, but like you wouldn't want to not believe your daughter or your mother or your sister or your cousin or what. Like you just put yourself in those people's shoes and like, you know, go the full distance, and you find out it's not the case, then you cross that bridge when you come to it. But like, I hate the fact that like we're not believing victims and we're victim shaming people nowadays. It's disgusting.
Yeah, that's well said. I agree with that. So it's on Netflix. Check it out. Check out all the stuff. After that, if you want to feel better about yourself and life, watch Ted Lasso. That'll get your spirits up.
I heard that show was good.
I really like it. It's very enjoyable. I like there's the sports component to it. Jason Sudeikis is just really funny, really well written. You know, they tackle issues and things, but they do it in a way that like, I like it as much as I like Mad Men, because it's like an ensemble cast. They're developing all these things. But I like Mad Men was like, there were times where you didn't feel great after watching, you know, putting down a couple episodes. Like the characters were flawed individuals, and the same things are there in Ted Lasso, but they just kind of present it in a different way that, you know, I think is a little bit more uplifting. So I really like it.
Nice.
We also like NXT takeover matches. Get rid of one. Your choice. I love it.
Yes. So we've been talking about NXT the past like few episodes, like the black and gold NXT. And like, you know, maybe during down the line on this Inside the Ring, we'll be covering like certain sections of it. But through the whole time where Triple H was running it, there have been a plethora of just great takeover matches. So the takeover matches I want to cover are one-on-one. So there'll be no war games. There'll be no tag team matches. Just one-on-one matches. So we're going to pick the best match out of these four coming up. So we're going to start at 2015. And that's TakeOver Brooklyn. And the reigning defending champion is Sasha Banks, and she's going up against Bayley. Great match. 2016, the match we talked about, the match of the week, TakeOver Dallas with Shinsuke Nakamura versus Sami Zayn. Or are we going to go to 2018, TakeOver New Orleans, Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa? This is off the heels of the betrayal of Ciampa and Gargano. Against Gargano, I should say. I'm sorry. And then in 2021, are we picking TakeOver 36, NXT UK, Ilya Dragunov versus Walter for the NXT UK title?
Man, all of those are bangers. Sasha Banks, Bayley won, and the Gargano Ciampa one, both so much emotion, so much build after, like you said, the vicious turn on Johnny Gargano that Ciampa did. And then you had we had Dragunov and Walter,
right?
And the last one was
Shinsuke and Sami Zayn,
which we just featured.
We just featured that one, yeah.
Which, great match, but didn't have the build, didn't have the other stuff attached to it. All great matches. What I have to go with, though, is Dragunov and Walter / Gunter. Because that was just, when they did it, how it was done, the fact that it was kind of riding Walter off of NXT, where then he went and had such a great run in WWE. Just the brutality of it, how hard-hitting it was. I just think it's phenomenal.
Yeah, and I'm picking that one also too, because if you remember, that had the long-term storytelling of it, of Dragunov trying to climb that mountain to finally beat Walter, because he was unsuccessful in the first one. But also too, this might have been like a match of the year candidate for us on one of our WrestleOcalypse award shows when that happened. So that match has been, it sounds familiar, but. It's hard to pick through those matches, but I agree with what Bobby said with the Ilya Dragunov Walter match. It was just so hard hitting and it had a great build to it. Honorable mention, like that was very close with Sasha Banks versus Bayley, because those two were running it hot, even down in NXT. Same with the horsewomen in general. They were just like a prominent, like they had a prominent role in the black and gold version of NXT. And like you said, there was so much emotion in that match. And it was just both sides just have great chemistry together. So if you get a chance, watch all these matches and you'll know what we're talking about. And then you'll have something to kind of fall back on when we do cover NXT in the near future.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Great, great, great. Get rid of one. Moving on. This used to be where we talk about the football. Football is over. So the next great sporting challenge that we want to highlight is Tournament of Champions 5. We've mentioned it. We did a Get Rid of One last episode about the four champs, all who are coming back. First episode, Sunday the 18th. We both checked it out. What a bracket. Some heavy, heavy hitters strung all throughout it. One right. through eight is tough. Every single bracket. We had some really good matchups the first week.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Malarkey and Jet Tila, that was a good match right off the bat. I mean, and Mei Lin versus the number 8 seed, who was really good. Like, he just, you know, there's no shame in losing to the champ. And I feel like the West is especially stacked. Like, I honestly think the winner of the whole thing is going to come out of the West. That's just what I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely, my favorites from the West, we've got, obviously, like you said, Jet Tila, Mei Lin. We've got
Antonio LaFaso.
Taggio,
Brooke Williamson, Michael Voltaggio. Mm-hmm. You know, when Malarkey was on there, he was good. I mean, Jose. Was Jose on the East Coast?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Never mind that.
But we've got Shota.
Yeah, that's right.
Betty Rebel thinks is got the legs to go all the way.
He could.
I mean, he's pretty dynamic. I like the fact that it's been all female chefs who have won. And certainly any of the four have a chance, but definitely Mei Lin, would be awesome to see her go back to back. I always root for Manit. Brooke Williams, probably the least. Three of those I like the least, but she's really grown on me. She's been doing a lot more better work with her personality. And then there's still, like, Joe Sasto's great. Like, they've the East has.
The East has some people too. Like, they've got Eric Adrapon. They got Amanda Freitag. Like, Manit's on there.
Yeah.
They have some, like, legends on that side.
Yeah. And I was really, so episode one, spoiler coming, tough draw. We saw Jose Garces having to go up against Mark May, right?
Murphy.
That's right. Mark Murphy. And, Mark Murphy came up with the win in a really tough match, but he ended up with the highest score of the day. Got $5,000 to give to a local restaurant, which I love. And what do you think about the change of the randomizer?
I was waiting for the change of the randomizer, and I thought that was interesting what they had those three ingredients on there. I wonder, they're going to have a different three ingredients on there next week, right?
Yeah, I think so. And then it'll be interesting to see if they change it from being ingredient to something else as we get deeper in the rounds.
Right.
You know, because that's really, like, the blind taste testing and the randomizer is what makes it so interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah, looking forward to this season of it. Like, there's everybody who's anybody in the cooking world is in it, pretty much. So this is good. Like, something new to watch and something, like, really cool.
Yeah, and it's nice too because it's not bingeable. It's like,
no, you have to watch it one at a time.
Yeah. And one thing the wife and I were talking about, I like it. There's a lot of cues taken from professional wrestling, not just the championship belt. They cut promos.
Yeah.
Like, they come out with the walkout and the way music.
They walk out. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's so good. And so if I'm imagining I'm getting ready to go out on Tournament of Champions, I would need some dope walkout music, and I picked a banger this week. So I'm going to jump in and go first. This one is from a band called None More Black. We have featured the lead singer was previously in a band called Kid Dynamite, which I know Xander has featured on previous playlists. This one is off their album called This Is Satire from 2006. The song is called D Is For Doorman. Come on in. And we're jumping in during their bridge, which is really good. It's got this cool rhythm change. Really is a good point in the song. Really kind of builds your excitement. So without further ado, let's do it right now. We'll be right back. That is what I'm talking about.
I haven't heard that band in a long time. None More Black. So nice pull.
Thank you. Thank you.
But my pick, if I were to walk out, is I'm going to throw an homage back to last Wednesday when we went to go see Tool at Crypto. So that was an amazing show, off the hook. I mean, they played for like 2 hours and they could have played for another two and I wouldn't have mind. But this is off 2001's offering entitled Lateralis. And the song is called Parabola. And it's classic Tool. You can check it out right now. You're going to have this with the interlude and the outro on our newly growing playlist. I forget what the title is called.
It is called Wrestleocalypse Jams 2020 Fear, Year of the Black Mamba.
Nice. That's a good title.
Yeah, and we've got about 16 songs on it. We're going to add these four, so we'll be up at 20. Probably be up at about an hour and 20 minutes. So, you know, if you need to get fired up for your workout, we've got a really good variety because we got some early hip hop bangers in there.
Yeah.
But still we've got, you know, your musical crush Lorna Shore on there. Favorites Lamb of God, Strung Out, Typo Negative. So it's a good one. Yeah. Check it out. The link is in the notes, or you can look it up under Wrestleocalypse. It'll come up. It'll also come up. We've done a playlist every year. Music is something that we really enjoy and we like to share. So check it out.
Right on. Funny thing about the show, I don't know if Bloodbath told you about it, but we were sitting in our suite seats and then there was the level below us. So with all the handicapped people and a couple people in chairs and stuff. And this old guy in front of us was hitting a joint, like just right there in plain sight, nothing, you know, no problem. And he smokes the whole joint to the dome, and then there's the intermission. So when it comes back out, Danny Carey's doing his drum solo. And I see, like, him and his wife and his daughter, like, with his hand on him. And, like, security's coming out, and they're seeing if he's all right. And what was funny is, like, we were talking about it in the car, and, like, Bloodbath thinks that he went to the dispensary and probably told the guys that he was listening to Tool. So they're going to go see Tool. So they probably lined him up with, like, some crazy diamond encrusted shit that he just decided to take to the dome. And we see him like freaking out, having an arrhythmia as Danny Solo's psychedelic drum. Danny Carey's psychedelic drum solo is kicking in. And I mean, the guy's all right. So we can laugh about it now, but I just thought that was pretty funny. Like Kenny and I both went up to the other side because eventually all these guys were like attending to him to see if like they needed to take him out. Cause like the guy apparently took too much for whatever it was. It was pretty it's pretty intense for him.
Yeah, that's funny. Moral of the story is, you know, don't do drugs, kids.
Exactly.
That's funny. Well, I'm like you said, I'm glad he's okay. But I could definitely see like, you know, that shit's peaking and Danny Carey starts doing his thing. And
I mean, yeah, especially like, you know, the bud tender's probably like, oh, dude, you're going to go see Tool. He's like, I got just the stuff for you. So, yeah. So
like 70% THC,
right? You can't smoke like I do, kids. So, I mean, but like I said, moral of the story, he's all right. And it was an amazing show. And this was an amazing show. And we can't top that.
No, we can't.
Yours truly, Xander Hobbs.
Ours truly, In This Life, Bobby B.
And we are always reminding you to show empathy, protect the environment, defend animals, and support the Russell Apocalypse.
Booyakasha.